The Boston area is recovering from a major flooding brought on by heavy rains over the weekend. More than 8 inches of rain fell yesterday in Lynn. The National Grid utility had to shut off power to hundreds of residents because of the dangerous flood levels. The rainfall totals much lower in the city of Boston itself. Just about 1.5 inches was recorded at Logan International Airport. Reminding you again that whatever the weather, we're available not just on the radio, but you can find us online at usaradio.com. And for USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Hey, Pat,
did you know between the two of us, we know how to screw in a light bulb?
Come on, Steve. We can do better than that. Well, at least I can. Tell you what, you sit there and look pretty, and I'll fix it.
Listen to you, big guy. Better yet, let's get everyone to listen to Home Sweet Home with me, Steve Bailey, Inspector with Brass Tack Home Inspections.
And I'm Pat Gregory, Handyman Extraordinaire with Taskman Home Improvements, every Friday at 11 a.m. Or you can go to our archives and get access to over 50 podcasts. We cover the basement to the attic and everything in between.
You can even call us at 908-237-0410 during our radio program about our home improvement projects. Remember, Home Sweet Home, every Friday at 11 on Hunterton Chamber Radio.
From the basement to the attic, you're listening to Steve and Patrick. Home Sweet Home.
Local weather here at HuntertonChamberRadio.com for Flemington area. A little light mist outside right now. Showers and thunderstorms could happen before noon, and possibly a thunderstorm later on. Chance of precip about 80%. Tonight, showers and thunderstorms likely in the evening. 60s on the overnight. Tuesday looks like maybe another chance, not quite as much. Possibly thunderstorms after 4 p.m. Actually, there is some flood watch out, at least in parts of New Jersey. I think east of us got a lot of rain at once. Tuesday night showers likely, possibly thunderstorms in the evening. Otherwise, lows in the 60s. Clearing up on Wednesday, high near 90. Cloudy on the overnight, low in the high 60s. Slight chance of showers possible on Thursday in the evening and into the night. Friday, chance of showers and thunderstorms. Clearing up with high near 90. And the weekend looks pretty good, Saturday, Sunday, at least from here. But who knows? Stay tuned for Chef Bill's Table.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterton Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterton-chamber.org.
Welcome to Chef Bill's Table. I'm your host, Chef Bill Kinslow from Jake's here in Flemington. Joining you on Monday, or you joining us on Mondays to discuss food, beverages, things coming up, related, and once in a while a guest. Haven't seen Pete in a while from the Spice Company. Hoping to get him back on soon. Oh, so summer. So I was talking to my owner yesterday. We were a little quiet yesterday afternoon. He said, oh, you're going to do your show. What are you going to talk about? What do you talk about in August? You know, there's no, I mean, the end of summer will be soon with Labor Day weekend, another long weekend. We're the last chance for a lot of people to, get outside, fire up the grill, have a picnic, travel. And then it's back to the routine. And, of course, then football season starts, so then, you know, Sundays become tailgate day. It's kind of neat because you start, it's so warm, and then by the time we end up, it's snowing. So, the, you know, some of the thoughts and ideas, what we prepare, of course, changes. I love fall. Fall, I mean, summer brings the bounty, but with fall, especially September, you're winding down, and some of the summer vegetables, and at least around here, I know the planting got started late again. It's still been a lot of rain. It's been a tough year, at least around our local farmers for product. Just, you know, rain is good, but too much rain at the wrong time. And then things like corn, the overnight have not been that cool. And some produce, they need that cooling off period. It can't be, you know, a minimum of 80 degrees or 78 degrees at night. You need something a little bit less than that. So, but product was good. But fall, you've got all the fall vegetables coming in, and you still have the summer, and that's probably my best season as a chef for variety, for things to do. Spring is always tough because we want it, and it doesn't come quick enough. The weather changes, and then we're looking for product, and you know, there's some really neat things that come out in the spring, short season, some of the produce, but fall for me, September is a great month for vegetables. As we're looking, of course, it's Sunday, and made a decent, I thought, pretty decent special yesterday. I had some monkfish medallions, and I had some Maine lobster meat. We've been running lobster sliders and sometimes a lobster cob salad, so I had, you know, I had some nice picked lobster meat, and then I went to the cooler, and of course I've got now, you know, tomatoes, squash, peppers, all those are coming in. So, and I had corn, nice Jersey corn, and I said, well, you know, I'd like to use the monkfish. I didn't have enough of either to make a whole special out of each one, so I said, I'm going to combine the two, but the meat was already picked. So I said, well, I'll do a monkfish with, you know, a lot of times you think monkfish, poor man's lobster, which, you know, we won't go into that, but, you know, think of a rich man, poor man thing. And so I, instead of just a sauce, let me make the base for the whole thing. And I thought, I have corn, I had some nice, the farmer brought, along with our zucchinis, some patty pans, some other squashes in there, different, really nice and crisp, too, by the way. You could eat those that were, they were, you could eat those raw as a crudité. It's not, you know, zucchini sometimes a little bit softer textured, but these were very nice. And of course, you know, a little bit of tomato. So I said, all right, you know, I'll make a succotash, but I didn't have the beans. I didn't want to, you know, I didn't have any limas. I didn't have any soybeans. I was going to cook some beans. I said, you know what? I don't want to use canned. This is all fresh. So I called it a succotash anyway. And instead of the beans, I used the diced squash. So we had the corn, a little bit of onion, sautéed with the squash, and then some diced plum tomato. And I used a little lobster broth, and, you know, just to cook the vegetables a little bit. And corn doesn't take that much, but, you know, you want it just cooked. The squash, you don't want to be too mushy. The tomatoes I put in the last minute, so they didn't cook too much. And even though tomatoes don't technically belong in a succotash, I thought that, well, you know, this is the way to convey to people what the dish is going to look like. So the basil oil goes in, and then, of course, to finish, some diced lobster meat and a pat of unsalted butter. It makes kind of a sauce there. When it reduces, you've got the little bit of cooking broth from the vegetables, emulsifies with the butter, and then I seared the monkfish, put it on top, and very, very good. And we also, you know, that could be a base for anything, you know, seared scallops, Cajun shrimp, if you like, if you want to do all shellfish. But nice, nice roasted piece of fish. It could be halibut, it could be cod. But using, I like using, it's, I call it like a vegetable that's also a sauce. So instead of having a, you know, a starch vegetable and a sauce, standard plating, corn is a starchy vegetable, or actually, is it a vegetable? We'll talk about that in a little bit. That's a substantial plate. You don't need a potato. I mean, if you wanted to, I guess you could put a little bit of, you know, mashed potato or dice up some potatoes if you'd like. But I thought the corn, the squash, the tomatoes, all went well together. Very good. I've done this, ratatouille is another one that can be a nice base. It's kind of like a sauce. It's braised vegetables. That's another thing that comes to mind right now toward the end of summer, where all these, all the components come together for a nice ratatouille. I know we've discussed it before. We'll review it because it's really worth doing, much different than the standard, zucchini and eggplant and canned tomatoes. You know, sometimes that term ratatouille gets, some people simplify it too much. It should be a nice complex vegetable braise. So I got thinking about summer vegetables, and when you start to realize that a lot of what we call vegetables are fruits, I call them fruit vegetables. Botanically, they're a fruit. Tomatoes, we know, were deemed a vegetable to avoid a tariff or a tax on fruits, and even for a while, ketchup was, you know, allowed in school lunches as a part of a vegetable component, which then they realized there was too much corn syrup in there to really qualify as a vegetable. But we eat a lot of fruits as vegetables. Now, maybe we should do that with some of these tariffs out there. Call it something else. Recategorize it. Then it doesn't apply, right? Who knows? But other things that we eat as vegetables, avocados, one of the really popular ones now, but cucumbers, olives are a fruit, and those are, you know, we use them mostly, everything in savory applications, peppers, bell peppers, and that would include your chilies and other things. You know, when the explorers were looking for the black pepper spice, the route to India, they came here, they found these pepper pods, and they became adopted and adapted by other cultures. Of course, back to Spain, famous for peppers, pimentos, Hungary, you've got Italy. I mean, these things now are almost like you think they're native foods of these countries. They call them New World vegetables. Of course, potatoes and sweet potatoes belong there also. But, even squashes like pumpkins and gourds, things that start to come out in a little while, they're technically fruits. Eggplant. So all these fruit vegetables. And who don't, you make squash or pumpkin pie, you make as tomato pie. I mean, there's some sweet applications. Roasted peppers, of course, are always, those always add a nice sweetness to dishes. We're going to talk about a nice simple pasta dish today that really showcases green bell peppers. You know, there's a lot of fancy ones and chilies and different ones out there that we use. And we'll talk, you know, how to handle these things properly. But make use of them because they're coming in now prolific and they all happen to go together. Eggplant, tomatoes, peppers, the and avocados on top of anything, I guess, is pretty good, right? Are you gathering up the tea? So bell peppers was one that I thought I'd go into a little bit here today. And, of course, green, common ones. You have suntans out there, which are green peppers that are kind of turning. What happens when peppers ripen? They turn red. And depending on when you pick them, you know, you have a green pepper or a red pepper. Red peppers, and, of course, we have yellow, we have purple. Orange, and when you're making a dish showcasing peppers, now that we can find all these different colors of them, you know, it's really attractive looking. They're all basically the same. They, you know, I don't know if one is sweeter than the other necessarily, and the poor purple ones actually turn more to green when they're cooked, so you lose that impact of that color. And then some of the mild chilies, I would say. You know, we know about our hot chilies, but I've used Anaheims. Poblanos are a little spicy, not too much. But those are other peppers. Yeah, you've got Italian frying peppers. I remember when I worked on the farm, you know, this kind of a, you know, I guess you could call it hazing. So we grew Cubanelles, a long, narrow pepper. And there were hot ones and sweet ones, and you really couldn't tell them apart. probably like Poblanos. You know, there's some that are really mild, and I guess the Chisitos are like that too. About every 10th one is hot. The heat comes from capsaicin that's in the seeds and the ribs inside. So the guys are there, and they crack off a end of a bite off the end of this Cubanel and eat it. Like, oh, because I thought, you know, hot peppers were all small ones. They said, no, this is sweet. You know, try it. And they're all eating them. And so they hand me one. Of course, I take a big chunk out of it, and it was a hot one, and I'm blazing. And I'm 14 years old, and that was the introduction to the farm world. Hazing's always gone on, but nice hazing, not violent stuff. We've got a break for a couple of messages here, and we'll be back at the table, and we'll cook with some bell peppers.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in a critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
This is Tony Clark, Para Planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody out there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know? The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in. Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Chef Bill's table here, WHCRDB, Hunterdon Chamber Radio, voice of business. So peppers. So we look for these in store. Of course, bell peppers come in many forms. Used to teaching a purchasing class. One of the projects was to make a student an expert, quote expert, on one particular thing. So by random drawing, we'd assign broad categories, something like peppers or pasta, tomatoes, and students would research all the different forms, how they're graded, or any special handling conditions. And so when you think, you know, these bell peppers, you know, obviously fresh, But you'll see frozen, diced, of course, in the, if you need something convenient, if you don't use that many of them and you're cooking them anyway, probably not a bad way to go. As long as they're not, hadn't been defrosted and frozen back into a block. But diced green peppers, sometimes they're roasted or seasoned, canned. Sometimes you see mild chilies, of course, roasted peppers are the most common thing you see canned. Used to be pimentos, actually, because Spain, of course, became a great producer, and their word for the pepper was pimenton. So that's the pimentos with the canned red peppers. When you see old recipes that call for pimentos, say pimento cheese, and you're going to, you know, you use a generally a roasted pepper. Pimento could be, you know, a certain, I mean, there's some nice varieties out there that are a little bit different, you know, a little sweeter. But if somebody says, if it says pimento, you can do the roasted peppers. They seem to be a little smaller, thinner. Some of the roasted peppers, good ones now, they're nice and meaty, the ones out of the can. And they're whole peppers. They're not, you can get them chopped up in strips and whatever, but the whole ones, you can kind of do what you want. Then, of course, pickled vinegar peppers. And one of my favorite accents, too, is when, again, cooking Italian cuisine, you know, with the shoemakers, the Scarparello, the chicken, or chicken Murphy, that slight, even with fresh peppers, we would put them with sautéed peppers on a pork chop, let's say, and onions, but always dice up or strips of vinegar pepper in there. So these are red peppers that are pickled in just a plain sugar vinegar solution. You can make your own. You have to cook them, though. They're cooked. They're not like making a cucumber pickle, just brine. You're going to cook them a little bit and then let them cool off in the liquid. So it's a way of preserving them. But nice sharp flavor with the vinegar there. And now the question comes, you know, do you want peppers to be roasted or do you want the skin on them? Peppers don't have a huge skin, but for certain applications, you don't want the skin. So if you're making, a roasted pepper puree, let's say, you use roasted peppers that have been peeled. And to do that, you have your grill. You could do them that way. A broiler is okay. The easiest way, if you have a gas stove, is just put them right on the burner. Let them char. And you want to do it quickly because you don't want the peppers to cook that much. You just want to get the skin off them, just like blanching a tomato in water to get the skin off. When you do this with the pepper, you roast it. And once the skin is all blistered and charred in a bowl, I usually put a clean towel over it. So you want them to steam a little bit, but you don't want to trap all the steam. You want to let them cool off that way. But you do cover them with something that will let the steam escape. And once they're cool enough to handle, you just rub off the skin. Now, some people wash them. When you do that, you're washing away flavor. You're going to see some liquid in the bowl, and if you want to save that for a sauce, you can. But rub the skin off as best you can. You know, and if a couple of little bits of char get in there, you know, it's not the end of the world. And then, of course, you'll take out the stem and the seeds, and then you can slice it, dice it, whatever you want. If you're doing, say, the chili relleno, the stuffed poblano, you'll roast it first and then peel it. You want to keep it whole, and then, of course, you cut the end or slit, you know, maybe a slit down horizontally or down the length of the pepper, and then it gets stuffed with whether it's cheese or braised pork, meats, anything like that, and then closed back up. And then, of course, you could serve them baked like that, but most of the best way is, of course, dip them in batter and fry them. Nice cornmeal or maize batter, or even a fly, you know, any kind of, you know, a good ale batter, whatever, but fry it up, and you've got, that's kind of what sparked the jalapeno poppers, a little mini spicy stuffed chili. So we have our peppers, so we can roast them or peel them or use them as air. Or you can peel the pepper raw. And I've done this before for salads especially where I want raw pepper, didn't want roasted, and I didn't want people biting through the skin. So, you know, somebody's sensitive to it. If you have, you know, certain digestive issues, sometimes the skins and seeds can bother you. And And I said, oh, you know, I've never heard of it. So you take a good vegetable peeler, and actually, if you have a nice, fresh, firm bell pepper, you can peel them. And what you do with the peeler is you get most of the peel off of there. If you have a spot where it can, make sure your peeler is sharp also. You realize, you know, we use them all the time, and all of a sudden it seems like we're struggling, especially something like this. You know, peeling it, it's not coming off even. Used to take a chainsaw file and a chainsaw blade sharpening file, and those are flat, so you can kind of slide them in the slot of the vegetable peeler and sharpen them. And the other thing is just use your other hand, because you've done them one way. Sometimes you can bend the slot a little bit to make it wider. That happens sometimes. It collapses over time. It's even instead of one being a little offset where you're getting the peeling done. So you peel the raw peppers and use them instead of just with the skin on. So we have a pasta dish that very simple. It's almost like many foods from Italy. Just, and a lot of times pasta, of course, is a first course. It's not meant to be a whole meal, but this one could do either one. It was, we have basically prosciutto and peppers and basil. That would be, say, my menu description. And a little Parmesan, best with spaghetti or linguine. And there's a couple of ways you could approach this. So you want some red and green peppers. The original recipe, when I first saw this, it was Four Seasons, way, way long time ago. And they would dice the peppers small, and they're still serving with spaghetti. And I'm thinking, you know, cooking Italian food for many years, you want to match the shapes as much as you can with the pasta. So if you have a long, thin noodle, I'm thinking, all right, I want juliennes. I want some long pieces. You think how people are going to eat it. You know, it's not really a sauce that's sticking to it. It's basically an olive oil and butter-based sauce. So you want people to be able to, you know, you've got your pasta and be able to grab some of the pepper and prosciutto. So whereas the Four Seasons, they would dice these. I chose to julienne them. And if you don't want to go through the work of peeling the peppers, if it's not an issue, it's fine. I've done it either way. You'll need you know, a couple of each red and green peppers, and we'll cut them into strips, either peeled or not, and probably a good half a pound of prosciutto. If you know, again, substituting, I mean, it's going to change the flavor a little bit. Ham could be used, but now you've got that smoky flavor going, and this is the deal with this pasta. Since we're not roasting the peppers, we're not using the smoke product, it's definitely a different flavor. So prosciutto is pretty much available now. So sliced thin, julienne, that means long strips. You'll need a little finely chopped onion. And again, you could cut the onion into thin strips if you wanted to, or in this case, you could mince it really finely. 2 cloves of garlic minced up, 1/4 cup of good olive oil. You'll need some fresh chopped parsley, about 1/3 cup. You need a little bit of dried oregano, a little pinch, and then 6 or 8 leaves of basil. And again, you can chop the basil, but the chiffonade or that thin julienne would be my choice. A couple of tablespoons of butter and some Parmesan and black pepper. So, and spaghetti, dry pasta if you want. I've used fresh linguine is great for this. So this would make enough for 1 pound of spaghetti, or if it was fresh pasta, you're going to need, you know, probably 1.5 pounds or so. That's not going to expand as much as the dry pasta. But you're looking for 4 to 6 servings. So, you know, 1.5 pounds of fresh would be good. You figure about 4 ounces per person. So you start with your olive oil. You get your onions soft. You don't necessarily need them brown. You want them to soften up. And add your garlic, and what we try to remember is when you're doing onions and garlic, we add the garlic a little bit later. You don't want it to brown too much or burn, especially if it's minced. And then, of course, we're going to saute the peppers. And do it slowly. You're not wanting them to brown too much. And to help it along, of course, I'd splash in a little bit of white wine, because, you know, a lot of it's going to evaporate, but it does lead a nice flavor in the dish, makes it a little bit more elegant. And you're cooking your pasta. Now, if it's dry pasta, of course, you have to start it. You could probably start the pasta before you start doing the cooking, because it's going to take maybe, you know, 10, 12 minutes to get the spaghetti cooked, depending on the thickness. Using fresh pasta, of course, we're going to cook the pasta at the last minute, because it only takes a minute and a half to do it. You can have, you have your sauce or garnish ready, and then the fresh pasta goes right from the pot. It's, again, a minute to a minute and a half once it's cooked, and then you just blend it with your sauce. We're going to take a break for news here at the half hour, and we'll come back and we'll finish this off and then see what else we can do with bell peppers and some of the summer fruit vegetables at Chef Bill's Table.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
President Trump is firing back at Amorosa Manigault Newman after the former White House staffer accuses him of being a liar and a racist. While out promoting her new book, Amorosa has said she personally heard a recording of President Trump using the N-word during filming for NBC's The Apprentice. Today, Trump tweets, quote, "Wacky Amorosa, who got fired three times on The Apprentice, now got fired for the last time," adding, "She never made it, she never will." She also releases a tape of a phone conversation she had with President Trump after she was fired by Chief of Staff John Kelly, in which the president indicates he was unaware she'd been fired. She says on NBC's Today Show this morning,
"John Kelly is running this White House, and Donald Trump has no clue what's going on. He's being puppeted, and that's very dangerous for this nation."
USA Radio News.
There's no question you need omega-3s. But which form should you take? Fish oil or krill oil? Scientists have debated this for years. Luckily, there's a new solution to satisfy everyone. It's called Krill Omega 50 Plus. It combines ultra-pure fish oil and joint-soothing krill oil together in just one tiny pill. It's so powerful, it can promote the health of your heart and your arteries. And if that wasn't enough, it can also boost your joint comfort in just days. We're so sure Krill Omega 50 Plus will work for you, we'll even send you a free bottle to put to the test. The debate is over. It's not fish oil or krill oil. It's both. And now it's free. Just pay $4.95 for shipping and claim your free bottle. Call now. 1-800-399-6392. 1-800-399-6392. That's 1-800-399-6392.
Back at Sheffield's Table here, WHCR-DB, 100 Chamber Radio. So we've got our pastas cooking, you know, working on this garnish. So we fry the onion, get the pepper in there soft, the prosciutto can go in. You could fry the prosciutto up with the onion if you want to extract a little more flavor. Prosciutto is cured, not cooked, but you could also toss it in toward the end. But we're not looking to crisp it up or anything like that. So onions, peppers, prosciutto, so you've got, and your garlic's in there. So we've got our fresh parsley, oregano. Now the basil, I like to toss in at the end. And whether you've chopped or done the chiffonade, we'll wait till we're blending the pasta and the peppers to add the basil. You want that perfume, you want the aroma coming off. Pasta's done, of course, you're going to add it to the skillet that you cook the peppers in and add some butter, couple of tablespoons of fresh whole butter and a little bit of Parmesan. And you're going to blend that. Black pepper, of course, you will season with. We don't need salt because we've got the prosciutto in there and the cheese. Probably don't need salt. If you need a little pasta water, of course, that's the, again, with pasta's a little secret. You've got a little starch in there if you need to flesh it out a little bit. But this is one where just the noodles should be coated with the olive oil butter. The cheese, it's not an Alfredo. The cheese is more there for a seasoning. You can always sprinkle some on top also. But this dish just showcases bell peppers. And I dare say, you know, the prosciutto is a nice touch in there. I said if you have to substitute ham, you know, you could, but it really will change the flavor. The prosciutto complements it nicely. So what else do we think of? Well, it's summertime, right? Burgers are still king, right? And we're still doing a lot of burgers out there. Pimento cheese, one of those old school, actually started up north, became a southern thing. The shredded cheese and mayonnaise and red pepper. I see that we make a nice one. When I run it, usually in the fall, I'll do that. Good to melt on a burger, pimento cheese. And again, you use roasted peppers if you can't find pimentos, which don't see too much in the stores anymore. Roasted peppers, that's probably with hummus, it's probably the number one flavoring you see, you know, even prepackaged. There's a swirl of roasted pepper puree on there. And making the pepper puree, again, you can make your own. Could be very quick. Zip some roasted peppers in the food processor, but you really need to do a little bit more than that. What we like to do, and you can make a green pepper puree. You can make a yellow one if you have just in South America, ají amarillo, the yellow pepper down there, the garnish and a relish for a lot of things. I remember one time, it was an Iron Chef, the original Japanese Iron Chef, where they, you know, even like the American one, where you have a single ingredient and you have to try to showcase it. And one time, and I liked them because they were more, it was a vegetable, it was always some oddball thing. I wasn't saying, oh yeah, you've got lamb, so you can use all these cuts of lamb, and of course you can make dishes out of that, but I always was intrigued when it was a vegetable and what the chefs would do to showcase the flavor of the vegetable. And I think it was a German chef, actually one, I think. He made a nice braise of beef, but he made three pepper purees, one with yellow, one with green, and one with red. I think seasoned each one a little bit differently, but on the plate, of course, beautiful, the three, the tricolor, and he made the three sauces. The beef was kind of the thing to bounce the flavors of the pepper off of. So instead of having a sauce for several proteins, you got one protein and several sauces. I like to do that sometimes. I almost call it like a fondue. So if you have, you know, if you have fried shrimp, let's take something simple and have three dipping sauces, but three different ones, not three mayonnaise sauces. You want one that's clear, one that's maybe tomatoey type thing, and then maybe you want one that's got a mayonnaise or a sour cream base. You want different textures and flavors in there. So making the puree, you can roast your own peppers for it, especially if you want a green or a yellow. I don't know if there's green roasted peppers out there, but you need them roasted. And we dice them. We always add a little bit of onion and garlic, and we cook them. We want to make sure they're fully cooked, fully soft. And even with canned ones, the canned ones still have a little bit of texture to them. You do want to cook it out. You know, we added some wine, some broth, and when the peppers are very, very mushy, you've got to be, you know, if you can mash them, then you can put them in your food processor and puree. Now, depending on the finished texture you want, in a restaurant we would strain it after that to get any bits that didn't really get ground up. At home, I mean, if you don't, it, of course, it's going to cost money to do that. You're going to lose a little bit of product. If at home, you could probably not strain it. But then you end up with a nice pepper puree. Season it at the end, salt and pepper. Add an herb if you like, depending on what you're using it for. But now you've got this puree that, you know, it's great on a piece of grilled fish or you can use it as an ingredient in something, or as I say, to flavor a dip or a hummus, nice roasted pepper puree. It's, you know, let's try something different than ketchup or chili sauce, right? Pure roasted pepper puree. So something else. Pepper relish. You know, we see pickle relish, green relish, from the cucumber pickles. It used to be called hamburger relish, or red pepper relish. You used to see it back in the 60s. We'd use it just like corn relish. Does anybody do it? I'm seeing that now sometimes. Chefs are actually making fresh corn relish, which, again, these are all fruits. They all pickle well. They all take on that flavor. But you've got that, you know, I guess like a chutney. You've got that sharpness of the vinegar. You can add a little heat to it if you want. It preserves the harvest, but it really, you know, takes the flavor in a different direction. And it's a nice little sauce, again, getting away from, you know, something buttery or mayonnaise-y or full of dairy, something nice and sharp like that, bright, we call it. So pepper relish, you're going to take 3 large peppers, and you could do different colors if you want, and 2 cups of chopped onion. Now the peppers you're going to dice, you want them at least as small as, you want them diced uniformly and about the same dice as your onion. You want them in small, or you could leave them in large chunks and buzz them in a food processor. But we're going to cook them with some cider vinegar, a cup of cider vinegar, and we're going to sweeten it with maple syrup. I found this, Vegetable Love Barbakovka's book. She was, you know, pretty good with vegetables. And a lot of people didn't like her. Ah, she did the microwave. And this, you know, she was writing for home cooks, and this is what you had to work with. And really, you know, simplifies things. But, she chose her sweetener, maple syrup. So 1.5 teaspoons of dry mustard, a little pinch of chili flakes, tablespoon of minced fresh ginger, some minced garlic, about 4 cloves, and that's 2 teaspoons. Well, she had cardamom, which would take it, I guess, a little more exotic. 2 teaspoons of cardamom, if you can find it. Pretty expensive, but really unique flavored spice. So you cook cook the peppers. You're pickling them, and if you dice them ahead of time, of course, you get a nice looking uniform product. If you keep them in large pieces and then put them in a food processor, you'll just pulse it a couple of times to get the size, the texture you want. You know, if you're good with the knife, dice them up, and you know, if you've seen hamburger relish, again, you can have it chopped pretty fine, or you could have it a little bit more coarse. But I think to make your own versus buying it, especially if you have the peppers, again, it's not a long cook time. You just want them, you know, you don't want them mushy, you want them but cooked thoroughly. Let them cool off. You've got your vinegar there. Again, adjust your seasoning at the end, but now you've got nice, sharp, again, good alternative to ketchup. If you're tired of using ketchup on everything, don't get me wrong. Ketchup's a great condiment. It's one of those perfect sauces. But, you know, we need to get something else once in a while. You're still going to have that sweet, salty, acidic combination. But instead of tomatoes, you're using peppers. Dang it, darling, we're going to break for a couple of messages here. And, let's see. Yeah, a couple of other ideas for using peppers. And then, review some of these summer fruit vegetables. I mean, the ratatouille sounds like a cliche, but made properly. And start thinking of some combinations we can use to summer bounty. Chef Bill's Table.
One of the biggest decisions in your lifetime is buying or selling a house. Choosing a realtor with strong client communication, technology, and marketing skills will dramatically improve your chance of success. That's why Hunterdon and Somerset's residents rely on Joe Peters. Joe believes his clients deserve a smooth and seamless experience, not a roller coaster ride. As a Coldwell Banker sales associate with 20 years of experience, he's helped hundreds of people to achieve their goals and dreams, no matter where they were in the buying or selling process. Joe accomplishes this by approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, he tries to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them his own. Then he takes the mass amount of data that's available and distills it down to a few understandable action points. And finally, he controls the entire process through technology and marketing. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let Joe show you how to take his professional expertise and put it to work for you. To contact Joe, go to jpeters.com or call 908-238-0118.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business. Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR-DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody right there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved.
Everybody, you.
Did you know the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in? Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Back at Chef Phil's table here, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. So, roasted pepper, another, again, summary. I've done this with, going back, I mean, very good with the pasta and thinking of seafood again. And, you know, we have a nice tomato, we have marinara, we have, you know, like a red clam sauce. And when I'm making a tomato sauce, especially using it with crab or lobster, this is really good with crab or lobster, or even scallops and roasted peppers go pretty well together too, but I'm thinking the shellfish here. And I started tomato sauce with you know, your minced onion, your minced garlic, but I also would mince up some roasted peppers. A couple of reasons, you know, I don't want the skin, I actually want the roasted flavor. I don't want fresh peppers in there. That would take, you know, a tomato pepper braise, that would take it in a different direction, which would still be fine. You know, like you think of sausage and peppers or rigatoni, you know, peppers, tomatoes, onions, classic combination. But the roasted peppers, so I cooked the roasted pepper in with the onion and garlic, and then for this I would add some wine, white wine. I'm using it for seafood. And then tomato product, and it could be fresh, peeled and seeded, chopped tomatoes if you want, but the canned tomato fillets, or, you know, if you're using some plum or pear tomatoes, canned pear tomatoes are very good when you can find them, by the way. Good meaty product. I would cut those into strips and use the liquid, the juice that's in there. This is not going to be a smooth, it's going to be more of a cooking sauce, and then tossing it with your pasta and your seafood. And then, you know, you have your basil and parsley. Sometimes, you know, I might sneak a bay leaf in there for some flavor. Of course, make sure you take it out before you're serving. But I'm going to keep it fairly simple. Basil should be the star. Again, it's summertime. Sometimes we do add a pinch of oregano just for that other tone in there, But it should be basil and parsley. And again, nice fresh parsley, Italian. The flat parsley give you a little bit more flavor. And this is a sauce that doesn't have to cook long. And this would be something that I would heat up and blend in some crab or lobster meat. Or you could do, I mean, it would work with any shellfish, shrimp, scallops. Because it's a little bit lighter. It's not going to be the heavy cook down for hours type of tomato sauce. And you could add a little cream to it. What I like to do with a tomato sauce like this, though, is actually, again, finish with the butter and the cheese. A little bit of whole butter. If you can't have the dairy, of course, some extra olive oil. You just, the fat helps spread the flavors around a little bit. And you're using a little wine in there. You know, I dare say it would still be if you put vodka in there, you could take it in that direction and make, oh, I'm going to make this tomato, roasted pepper, vodka sauce. It would be pretty good, right? It's fun when you're cooking, you know, and when you understand technique's the most important thing. And after that, you know, recipes, you start to learn what ingredients do, and then once you learn what the purpose of that ingredient is for, what it brings to the dish, then you can do substitutions. Some people substitute things not really thinking it through, whether it's, you know, the texture or a flavor or if liquid's going to come out, if it's going to dilute the whatever you're doing. There's so many things that can happen. If you're cooking with spirits, you know, if something calls for a fortified wine like sherry. Well, I don't have any sherry. Well, but if you know what a fortified wine is, you could use a Marsala. You could use a Madeira. You know that they're going to have, they're made similarly. They have that cooked wine flavor. You'll be able to use them. Vodka, of course, is tasteless, but what happens with alcohol in the mix is it helps bridge that difference on your palate between fats and proteins. Or even in the case of the vegetables, the tomato, you've got, you know, some oil or butter in there, but it really, the alcohol kind of rounds out your palate that way. So if you took a tomato sauce and cooked fish in it, and you cooked a tomato sauce with a little splash of vodka in there, it's going to taste different, even though vodka has no flavor. It's the effect of that alcohol's on your palate that happened. So the other fruity summer vegetable, peppers, I mean, tomatoes are everywhere. The eggplants, and of course, in Jersey, it's one of the star crops here. And what's nice is look for different varieties. You know, you get your standard purple eggplant. You see the white ones. You got the ones they call the Japanese or Chinese. There's long ones. I find those are, especially on the grill, those are great. They're firmer. They're not spongy. The wintertime, sometimes they think, oh, you got to salt them. You got to get the moisture out of them. But good firm eggplants have really nice flavor and good texture to them. And so look for that when you're buying them. You want something fairly firm. It shouldn't feel too light for its size. And look for the different varieties. It's small. There's round ones. There's longer ones. There's white ones, purple ones. There's branch out of it, because it really make you appreciate the eggplant, just like the squashes. You know, yeah, I can get zucchini and yellow squash, but there are many other varieties, and sometimes they just happen with the cross pollination or whatever, something two different things combine, and you end up like these ones that look like a pear, but they tasted like the patty pan. But the patty pans, of course, are that round scalloped shape. Those are very nice. But eggplants, same way. There's many varieties out there. Grilling them, obviously, if you have, especially the long ones, you split them in half lengthwise and just lightly score them with a knife, cut little slits in the flesh, and then good amount of olive oil, season them, and lubricate them well. Eggplants will soak up anything, and they will take a lot of oil. If you've ever fried eggplant for a dish, you'll know what I mean. I don't mean breaded and fried. I mean frying, just flouring and frying. They really drink up the oil. Or if you're grilling them, you'll end up basting them a lot. But grilling, we've done the slices to make a lasagna with, or you could make your rollatine instead of, again, doing breaded fried eggplant. grill it and roll it up. The other thing, my owner, did, he was doing some eggplant and roasting it whole or even halves. You cut them in half, the big, the larger eggplants, and just get the pulp. I mean, I saw a recipe recently, you know, people think about different vegetable burgers. Well, you could use eggplant pulp and make patties out of those. You know, it's all roasted, or you could cube them and saute them, but you want to get all the moisture out of them and puree them, and then simply your egg, your seasoning, breadcrumbs, you know, it's just like making, I guess, an eggplant meatball, right? But it does, again, good fresh eggplant has good flavor. And, you know, don't write off the old eggplant parm. That's still a good dish. I mean, it's really, you know, again, about the sauce and the cheese, but you could, instead of frying it, grilling it, I know when we do eggplant lasagna, I usually make it usually on Thanksgiving because you need that vegetarian dish. And it actually, you can make it so it's gluten-free by using the eggplant as the noodles. And it takes, you know, a few eggplants. Yeah, I peel them, slice them very thinly, and then I've done them where I've floured and sautéed them. I've done them where I've grilled them. Last time, I think I roasted them. I sprayed the sheet pan, put the slices on there, and roasting seems pretty the best way. It doesn't, you know, it's not as active as turning them on the grill, a little bit lower temperature. You just want to get them cooked and get some of the moisture out of them. And then layer that in your lasagna instead of pasta. And you get something, you know, when you're roasting them, you do want them to cook. You don't want them undercooked because then it's hard to cut. And remember, when you're using these, you know, there will be a little bit more moisture coming out. So when a lasagna, like any good casserole, once it comes out of the oven, let it sit. But if you've had the wherewithal, you've got all this bounty, ratatouille, two ways to approach it. I do it as a braise where I add things in order that they'll cook in. You know, the firmest things up front and then later. So you've got eggplant, zucchini, or whatever squash is. In the fall, I've used butternut or, you know, another winter squash. You kind of vary that. Your eggplant, you want that to cook, so that's, you know, you're sautéing that first, and of course you've got some tomatoes in there. What I do is make sure I dice it. I dice them small, and then you can use them more as a base for grilled meats or other proteins. It would go, you know, obviously you think of lamb or steak, but ratatouille would also be good with tuna, would be good with one of the good steak fish. All right, we've got the end of the hour here. Okay, I guess we got to go. So Chef Bill signing off. Enjoy your summer vegetable fruits. And we'll see you next week.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Breaking news as we learn the FBI agent behind several anti-Trump texts is out of a job. Peter Strzok's lawyer says Strzok was fired on Friday. He had helped lead the special investigation into Russian meddling in the 2016 election until his anti-Trump tweets were discovered. Omarosa Manigault-Newman on the attack, releasing a recording of a phone conversation she has with President Trump shortly after she was fired as a White House aide.
General Kelly came to me and said that you guys wanted me to leave.
No, nobody even told me about it.
Then she says this on NBC this morning.
John Kelly is running this White House, and Donald Trump has no clue what's going on. He's being puppeted, and that's very dangerous for this nation.
She was referring to Chief of Staff John Kelly. Trump tweets this morning, "Wacky Omarosa, she never made it, never will." This is USA Radio News.
When working at a growing business, you wear many hats. The new business hat, the buying toner for the copy machine hat, the sifting through tons of resumes hat. You can throw away that last hat thanks to Indeed.com. When posting your job, Indeed lets you add screener questions that give you a less time-consuming route to your short list of qualified candidates. So go ahead, dust off that extra-long lunch hat. Hiring's better when you've got your short list. Save time on hiring when you post a job on Indeed. Get started today at Indeed.com/hire.
From the creator of The Simpsons and Futurama.
This is a bad time to be coming down off of that high.
Comes an epic tale.
I like war, but I wouldn't say I love it.
Of growing up.